The question is the following. We have a very nice method for minimizing quadratic strongly convex functions. Okay? Strongly convex is given by the fact that A is positive definite. And it's very nice. You have a nice code here. You can write it down, you can apply. From the mathematical point of view, should give you convergence in n iterations. You discuss with Professor Bevilacqua that under some properties of the eigenvalues, it converges even in less. So it looks nice. So the question is, can I extend this idea to minimize functions which are not necessarily quadratic and strongly convex? Okay? This is the basic question. So the basic idea here was to not consider just the residual, but keeping track of all the previous directions. Okay? Because you keep track of the previous, which in turn keep track of its previous directions and so on. Okay? You keep memory of all the directions that you use. Funny thing, the algorithm for the linear case goes back to 1952, first appearance. Well, the answer to the question was given, to some extent, just 12 years later, 1964. And the funny thing is that the basic idea is very, very simple. And it's the red formula here. Okay? We are written, all this stuff is plugging the residual. But the residual is nothing but minus the gradient. Okay? So the basic idea is, let's take this algorithm and let's replace the residual with minus the gradient. Okay? This is the basic idea. Replace the residual with minus the gradient. There are a couple of bad things. Not everything works fine. I can replace minus the gradient here, 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 up there, but, for instance, here. You have A, you have the matrix. If F is a generic function, you don't have this formula for the function. You don't have this form. So you have no A. So one question here is, this is meaningless, okay? All the rest sounds. But if I want to apply that idea here, I don't know what to do, because A does not exist anymore. Yes? This was not a trouble before, because F was defined that way. So you knew what A was. Now F is any function. Okay? We want to extend the algorithm for a generic function. Let's say not necessarily quadratic. And strongly convex. Okay. So it has any form. You should write something which depends on
on F. Okay, but I showed you that this is just a formula for the exact line search. Okay, so here I could write compute TK by the exact line search. Okay, so that in the particular case of that kind of function there, you get back exactly the previous algorithm. We discussed the exact line search. We discussed its drawback, and in particular, that the exact line search requires the solution of an optimization problem going just in one variable. Okay? And we looked for alternatives. I told you that in the quadratic case we have a formula, which indeed is this one. Okay? But if F is not quadratic, you don't have a formula to put it here. Okay? So the exact length search could be extremely expensive or not a suitable thing to do. And then actually this work, because you can do exactly the exact length search, okay? Because you have a formula. It's exact. The only thing you have numerical errors, okay? But if I replace it with an algorithm to compute the minimum, that would be necessarily an approximation. So rather than choosing an approximation afterwards, let's keep it from the beginning and let's not perform an exact line search, let's perform some kind of inexact line search, okay? Through some appropriate rule. That's the bad news. Okay, we do it, okay? So, replace step 4 by some inexact line search. When we proved that the method is a descent method, we exploited exactly this form for the step size. Okay. We proved, indeed, we proved that the derivative of the search function was zero because we chose this step size. We proved it was on the blackboard some time ago. This is minus, let's say, RK times RK, we can write the square of its node, plus minus BK times RK BK minus 1. Okay. So let's put minus here and the plus here. And this quantity happens to be 0. Okay. Let's rephrase this in our framework where we don't have the residual, but we have the gradient. Okay. Here now in our situation, this
we are replacing the residual with minus the gradient. So this comes minus the norm of the gradient squared plus dk, the scalar product of the gradient, times dk minus 1.
Okay. We no longer have these properties, because these properties hold in that case. Okay. So the question is, okay, here you have the minus. This is positive. What about this? Okay. What do we know about the sign of this? Okay. Because if it is positive, we are done. Okay. But if it is negative, we are no longer sure that this sum here is positive. Because this is positive, but this is negative. This, in absolute value, this could be greater than this. Okay? And so the sum is negative. And here you have the minus, so this becomes positive. Okay? So we don't have the answer here. Indeed, if you do the exact line search, this quantity is zero. Exact line search means this is zero, implies that this is zero. Okay? Because when you compute the derivative of the search function, the derivative of the search function is exactly this term here. Okay? But we just discussed that we cannot do an exact line search. Okay. So the trouble is that taking this correction of minus the gradient by keeping track of the previous direction, in the general case, unless we perform an exact line search, which we are not able to, we have no more any guarantee that this is a descent method. Unless we perform it in a smart way. Okay? So, the unique trouble in applying this simple idea, replace the residual with minus the gradient, lies here. You cannot perform the exact line search, but if you cannot perform the exact line search, since you are taking this kind of directions, you are no longer guaranteed that the method is a descent method. Okay. The game here is simply find suitable conditions under which the method is a descent method. Okay. How should we perform the exact line search to guarantee that this is a descent method? I'm going to give you the answer with no proofs. Okay? So, we can, before proceeding to the answer, write the algorithm in our case. So we get rid of everything which depends on linear. Okay, so where I have the residual, I will put the gradient. So I'm just replacing each square
Well, it has to be there. Okay? Here
and here. Here it goes back to the usual condition, the usual check if the gradient is zero.
Okay?
And here we have the thing that we don't know. In a half line search, how? So we have a nice method, but we don't know if it is a scan method, we don't know if it works. Do you have any question, any doubt on the kind of approach we are trying to follow? The answer is, do you want a beautiful lie or do you want the truth? The truth is no, you don't have it. Okay. And you will see now and on Tuesday that we have a lot of trouble. I mean, a strongly convex quadratic function is the best that can happen to you. Okay. If you is where you can prove the most beautiful things. Okay? The algorithms run well, they are simple, they are not, in theory there are no troubles, you can write it down perfectly, you can have these very nice properties. Okay? Here we are facing a much bigger problem now. We need to find conditions which guarantee that the method is a descent method. Yes, the problem is the step size. Okay. I mean, the reasons why we are going in this problem is this correction here. Okay. If you remove this, you are back to a gradient method. So you can work, you can perform the inexact line search through the Hermite rule or the Hermite plus curvature conditions. Okay, the so-called work conditions. So, or in some situation even a constant step size. We have seen these cases. Okay. The answer here is that we need something stronger than the than the work conditions. Okay. So the work conditions are the Hermite conditions. There are Hermite conditions which tell you that the step size must satisfy this inequality here, and we spend some time discussing it. And also, we also had this curvature condition, which was written this way: the gradient at the new point times decay must be greater than C2 times the the gradient of the current point times the directions, where
T1 and T2 are done this way.
They are between 0 and 1, and T2 is greater than T1. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you again.
It's been great. So, you can try Armijo with the Armijo rule. Doesn't work. You can try Armijo plus the curvature condition together. They don't work. You need something stronger.
These together are main work.
Okay. And if you remember, you can rewrite these conditions.
Armijo can be written in through the search function. This computed at tk is less or equal than the search function at 0 plus c1 tk, the derivative at 0, and the curvature condition can be written the derivative at tk greater or equal than c times the derivative at 0.
Okay. What you need to prove convergence is to strengthen the curvature condition. Okay. Replace this condition here with this other condition. You take the absolute values of the two, and you switch the sign, because I remind you that this quantity has to be negative, okay? Because we are looking for a descent direction. And if you make it here, it comes this smaller than this. This is known as the strong curvature condition, and paired with the Armijo rule, they are called the strong walled conditions. Okay? And now I want to spend just a few seconds to show you that indeed, the strong curvature condition is stronger than the curvature condition. Okay? How is this? We know. Let's exploit this, okay? So I want to prove that if this is true, then the previous one is true as well, and the previous one was without the absolute value. Okay, so I want to prove that this is greater or equal than this. First silly remark, you have a quantity, you don't know if it is positive or it is negative,
but it is always greater or equal than minus its absolute value. If this quantity is positive, it's greater than this, since this is negative. Okay? If this quantity is negative, they are equal, because this is the absolute value and you change the sign. Okay? Here, if you have minus 3, this is minus the absolute value of minus 3. Okay? So it's minus 3 million. And if the curvature if this strong curvature condition is true, just multiplying by minus 1, this is greater or equal. This is greater or equal than minus C2 times the derivative at 0. Okay? If this is true, then you have this. But this quantity is negative because you want the same direction. So when you put a minus in front of it, you get exactly the same. Okay? This is because we want the same direction, first of all. Well, this is not yet enough. You have to enforce also this condition. Rather than being smaller than 1, be smaller than 1 half. Okay? So, the strong Wolf condition in this framework are the Hermite condition, always the same, the strong curvature condition, which is given by taking the absolute value of the previous condition, and this stronger requirement on the coefficients. What is the main difference between the curvature and the strong curvature condition? In the curvature condition, if the derivative of the search function is positive, we are fine, okay? But it could be also huge, a huge value, okay? If you consider the absolute value here, even when it is positive, here you are imposing an upper bound. It cannot be too positive, too large, okay? Because the previous one was working also when this derivative is positive and it can be really large. And that positive means that the function in that direction is probably going up. Okay. Well, what we can do, but we won't, because it's boring, okay. Is consider this algorithm where the inexact line search is performed choosing a step size which satisfies the so-called strong Wolf condition. So this one plus this one with this requirement on the coefficients. Okay. Then the algorithm generates sequences, a sequence of directions which have this property. We know an upper bound and a lower bound for the scalar product of the gradient of f at the current point with the direction. And where you see the lower bound? The lower bound of this one.
You can prove this. Notice here you understand why I told you let's choose C2 smaller than 1/2, because if C2 is smaller than 1/2, this is negative and this is the denominator is positive, so this is negative whenever C2 is smaller than 1/2. Okay? Otherwise, it is positive. So, this coefficient is negative, so this is a descent direction. Okay? So, if you impose the strong Wolf conditions where C2 is smaller than 1/2, this conjugate gradient method provides descent direction. So, it is a descent number. Okay? So, this concern here is overcome. Okay, not sure. Okay, there are a couple of things more. I want to tell you today. The first thing is convergence. Convergence result for this method is not very nice. Because the result is the following. Okay, let's suppose that the algorithm generates an infinite sequence. Okay? Suppose the algorithm generates an infinite sequence xk. We have these assumptions. First, f is bounded by the law. And the gradient is a Lipschitz mapping. The gradient of f is Lipschitz continuous, which means there exists some constant L such that the gradient of F at X minus the gradient of F at Y is a vector whose norm is less or equal than L times the norm of X minus Y for all X and Y. Under this assumption, here you have the result. There exists one subsequence xkj such that the limit as j goes to plus infinity of the norm of the gradient of the point xkj is equal. I'm not even saying that the subsequence is convergent. Okay? I'm just saying
that the limit of the gradient of F computed on the subsequence goes to zero. And if you remember
the first lecture on algorithm, I told you there is a scale of convergence result. Okay? And the obvious one was the existence of a subsequence, okay? Having the property that we want. And this is the case. Okay? Always there's a gap between theory and practice. In practice, the convergence, when you perform the algorithm on instances, the algorithm, if you are under the right assumption, the sequence converges. Okay? But in theory, you can just prove the existence of one particular converging subsequence, and you don't know even which one. Okay? You cannot build it. If you add another assumption,
the following, let's suppose that the sublevel set, I add this assumption, consider the sublevel set of value f at 0, so the point x in Rn such that f at x is less or equal than f at x0 is compact. Is a compact set, so the sublevel set is compact. Notice that the whole sequence lies here because it is a descent method now, because we proved that we are moving along the descent directions. Then the subsequence lies here necessarily, so it has a convergence subsequence, and if you have convergence, if you have convergence of the subsequence, then also the gradient converges by continuity of the gradient, and so the limit point is stationary.
It's the argument we used in the previous lectures. Okay, when a subsequence converges and the gradient is convergent to zero, then the gradient is zero, also the limit point. So if we add that assumption, we can obtain as a corollary of this result that there exists one cluster point of our sequence that is stationary. There exists one cluster point x bar such that it is a stationary point. The gradient at that point is zero. But even here, the result is
there exists one.
The result is not satisfactory from a theoretical point of view. So the truth is uglier than you would have imagined when you asked me the question about finite convergence. Okay? Not only the convergence is not finite, but in theory you can prove just the convergence of particular subsequent. This is not all. I mean, it is almost all for today, but there is something I will discuss with you on Tuesday, and on Tuesday I will discuss this and show you examples. Okay? And the examples will be somehow very beautiful, because We have an ugly theory. I show you examples, and the algorithm works very nicely. But the algorithms can also work very bad. The reason is here,
if we are not taking minus the gradient as a direction, okay,
we are modifying it by taking minus the gradient at the previous and minus the gradient at the previous and so on with suitable coefficients. If you remember the result of convergence for a direction other than minus the gradient, we needed that the direction was not becoming orthogonal to the gradient. Okay? It's, the angle should have stayed away from 1/5. Okay? Well, you cannot guarantee this here. Okay? Because you are losing, with this formula, you're losing control on the angle. It may happen that the angle goes to 90 degrees. Okay? And Tuesday, at the beginning of the lecture, I will show you the reason, I will show you that if this happens, the algorithm may become very, very slow. Okay? I will do some informal algorithms. It will not be a mathematical proof. Okay? It will be something. If this happens, then this other thing is very probable. Okay? It is probable that this other thing happens and so on. And if all these possibilities turn into reality, the algorithm is very bad. And I'll show you also ways to overcome this. So, first half of the lecture will be on this, and the second half will be some examples. Okay, so that's it for today. Have a nice weekend, and we meet on Tuesday.